10. Ascendant Destinies. Spirit-fused mortals are, generally speaking, confined to a local universe. Sun-fused survivors are restricted to a super-universe. Adjuster-fused mortals are destined to penetrate the universe of universes. The spirits of mortal fusion always ascend to the level of origin. Such spirit entities unfailingly return to the sphere of primal source. Spirit-fused mortals are of the local universe. They do not, ordinarily, ascend beyond the confines of their native realm, beyond the boundaries of the space range of the spirit that pervades them. Sun-fused ascenders likewise rise to the source of spirit endowment, from which as the truth spirit of a creator sun focalizes in the associated divine minister, so is his fusion spirit implemented in the reflective spirits of the higher universes. Such spirit relationship between the local and the super-universe levels of God the Sevenfold may be difficult of explanation but not of discernment. Being unmistakably revealed in those children of the reflective spirits, the seraphic voices of the Creator Sons. The Thought Adjuster, hailing from the Father on Paradise, never stops until the mortal Son stands face to face with the Eternal God. The mysterious variable and associative technique whereby a mortal being does not or cannot become eternally fused with the indwelling thought adjuster may seem to disclose a flaw in the ascension scheme. Sun and spirit fusion do, superficially, resemble compensations of unexplained failures in some detail of the paradise attainment plan, but all such conclusions stand in error. We are taught that all these happenings unfold in obedience to the established laws of the Supreme Universe Rulers. We have analyzed this problem and have reached the undoubted conclusion that the consignment of all mortals to an ultimate paradise destiny would be unfair to the time, space universes inasmuch as the courts of the Creator Sons and of the Ancients of Days would then be wholly dependent on the services of those who were in transit to high realms. And it does seem to be no more than fitting that the local and the super-universe governments should each be provided with a permanent group of ascendant citizenship. That the functions of these administrations should be enriched by the efforts of certain groups of glorified mortals who are of permanent status. Evolutionary complements of the abandoned person of the cessatia. Now it is quite obvious that the present ascension scheme effectively provides the time-space administrations with just such groups of ascendant creatures, and we have many times wondered, does all this represent an intended part of the all-wise plans of the architects of the Master Universe designed to provide the Creator Sons and the Ancients of Days with the permanent ascendant population? With evolved orders of citizenship that will become increasingly competent to carry forward the affairs of these realms in the universe ages to come? That mortal destinies thus vary in no wise proves that one is necessarily greater or lesser than another, merely that they differ. Adjuster-fused ascenders do indeed have a grand and glorious career as final leaders spread out before them in the eternal future. But this does not mean that they are preferred above their ascendant brethren. There is no favoritism, nothing arbitrary, in the selective operation of the divine plan of mortal survival. While the adjuster-fused final leaders obviously enjoy the widest service opportunity of all, the attainment of this goal automatically shuts them off from the chance to participate in the edge-long struggle of some one universe or super-universe. From the earlier and less settled epochs to the later and established eras of relative perfection attainment, final leaders acquire a marvelous and far-flung experience of transient service in all seven segments of the grand universe, but they do not ordinarily acquire that intimate knowledge of any one universe which even now characterizes the spirit-fused veterans of the Nebudan course of completion. These individuals enjoy an opportunity to witness the ascending processional of the planetary ages as they unfold one by one on 10 million inhabited worlds. And in the faithful service of such local universe citizens, Experience superimposes upon experience until the fullness of time ripens the high quality of wisdom which is engendered by focalized experience. Authoritative wisdom. And this in itself is a vital factor in the settling of any local universe. As it is with the spirit fusers, so is it with those sun-fused mortals who have achieved residential status on Uversa. Some of these beings hail from the earliest epochs of Arvanten, and they represent a slowly accumulating body of insight-deepening wisdom which is making ever-augmenting service contributions to the welfare and eventual settlement of the seventh super-universe. What the ultimate destiny of these stationary orders of local and of super-universe citizenship will be, we do not know, but it is quite possible that when the Paradise Finna leaders are pioneering the expanding frontiers of divinity in the planetary systems of the first outer space level, their sun and spirit, fused brethren of the ascendant evolutionary struggle will be acceptably contributing to the maintenance of the experiential equilibrium of the perfected super-universes while they stand ready to welcome the incoming stream of Paradise pilgrims who may, at that distant day, pouring through Arvanten and its sister creations as a vast spirit-questing torrent from these now uncharted and uninhabited galaxies of outer space. While the majority of spirit fusers serve permanently as citizens of the local universes, all do not. If some phase of their universe ministry should require their personal presence in the super-universe, then would such transformations of being be wrought in these citizens as would enable them to ascend to the higher universe. And upon the arrival of the celestial guardians with orders to present such spirit-fused mortals at the courts of the Ancients of Days, they would so ascend, never to return. They become wards of the super-universe, serving as assistants to the celestial guardians and permanently, save for those few who are in turn summoned to the service of Paradise and Havona. Like their spirit-fused brethren, the sun-fusers neither traverse Havona nor attain Paradise unless they have undergone certain modifying transformations. For good and sufficient reasons, such changes have been wrought in certain sun-fused survivors, and these beings are to be encountered ever and anon on the seven circuits of the central universe. Thus it is that certain numbers of both the sun and the spirit-fused mortals do actually ascend to Paradise, do attain a goal in many ways equal to that which awaits the father-fused mortals. Father-fused mortals are potential Finna leaders. Their destination is the universal father, and whom they do attain. But within the purview of the present universe age, Finna leaders, as such, are not destiny attainers. They remain unfinished creatures, sixth stage spirits, and hence non-active in the evolutionary domains of prelite and life status. When a mortal Finna leader is Trinity embraced, becomes a Trinitized son, such as a mighty messenger, then has that Finna leader attained destiny, at least for the present universe age. Mighty messengers and their fellows may not in the exact sense be seventh stage spirits, but in addition to other things the Trinity embrace endows them with everything which a Finna leader will sometime achieve as a seventh stage spirit. After spirit-fused or sun-fused mortals are trinitized, they pass through the Paradise experience with the adjuster-fused ascenders, with whom they are then identical in all matters pertaining to super-universe administration. These trinitized sons of selection or of attainment at least for now are finished creatures, in contrast to the Finna leaders, who are at present unfinished creatures. Thus, in the final analysis, it would be hardly proper to use the words greater or less are in contrasting the destinies of the ascending orders of sonship. Every such son of God shares the fatherhood of God, and God loves each of his creature sons alike. He is no more a respecter of ascendant destinies than is he of the creatures who may attain such destinies. The Father loves each of his sons, and that affection is not less than true, holy, divine, unlimited, eternal, and unique. A love bestowed upon this son and upon that son, individually, personally, and exclusively. And such a love utterly eclipses all other facts. Sonship is the supreme relationship of the creature to the Creator. As mortals, you can now recognize your place in the family of divine sonship and begin to sense the obligation to avail yourselves of the advantages so freely provided in and by the Paradise Plan for mortal survival, which plan has been so enhanced and illuminated by the life experience of a bestowal son. Every facility and all power have been provided for ensuring your ultimate attainment of the paradise goal of divine perfection. Presented by a mighty messenger temporarily attached to the staff of Gabriel of Salvington.